Okay, good morning, everyone. Hi. For those of you who haven't met me yet, my name is Zmira Ozarowski. I work here at the OU Israel Center. And I wanted to thank you all for coming out to prepare for Pesach in a spiritual as well as practical way. It's not easy, I know, coming out a couple weeks before Pesach. So thank you for taking your time to do that. And I just wanted to take a few minutes before we begin with the cooking to just give over a Torah thought to provide us with something to think about as we're cooking and preparing for Pesach. So as we begin contemplating our menus, I know I'm totally not there, but obviously if you're here, then you probably are. So we think about our menus, and we begin to realize just how much matzah we eat, you know, matzah balls and matzah brei and matzah pizza and matzah cookies and matzah, right? A lot of matzah. And the question is really, what is the meaning behind all of this matzah, right? Other than the stomach ache that it gives you. So if you look in the Haggadah, you'll see two completely different reasons why we eat matzah. Anyone want to say what they are? You say them every year?
Yeah.
Okay, Okay. Okay. When we first begin the Haggadah, right, we welcome everybody in and we say, Halachmanya di akalu avtana bara di mitzrayim. We say, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate while they were slaves. This matzah is the matzah of slavery. Okay? But when we get to the end of the Seder, not the end, but the end, really the end of Magid, right? Rabbi Gamliel talks about how we have to explain why we eat the different things at the Seder, and he says, matzah al shuma. Al shum. No, he also says Pesach al shuma, but matzah al shuma. He said we go through all three of them. So why the matzah? The matzah al shum shalo, he speak the tzekam shalotin lachmitz, because as our fathers were leaving Mitzrayim, they were rushing out, they didn't have time for the bread to rise. They were in such a rush. Okay, so if you think about it, these two answers that are both given in the Haggadah are really complete opposites. First we said that the matzah represents slavery, right? Is it the slave's food? And then we said that matzah represents freedom as they're leaving Mitzrayim. So, and it's interesting that both are actually found really in the same pasuk. If you look in Parshat Re'eh, it says, Lo tochal alav chamit, or you can't eat chametz during Pesach. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot. For 7 days you'll eat matzot. Lechem oni, which is poor man's bread. Ki bechipat zon yatzatem yeretz Mitzrayim, because you left so quickly from Mitzrayim. So within the very same half of a pasuk, the Torah actually says both reasons. So again, according to the first answer, matzah symbolizes slavery, right? Why is matzah a slave's food?
It's heavy.
Very good. Okay, so the Abudraham says, as you know, when you eat matzah, what happens?
It sits
in your stomach for a long time, right? You get very full from the matzah. So it was a way of the Egyptians being able to save on the money they need to give to their slaves. So they need to give them just a little bit of matzah, and it would keep them full for the entire day. They didn't have to give them more food. What else? You know about matzah and slaves.
Well, it's made very quickly, you don't waste time, and no extra ingredients.
Good, very good. Okay, so you're combining the chizkuni in this form. Okay, the chizkuni says, we know in order to, when you're making challah and you want it to rise, what do you need to put in it?
Yeast.
And also you need to put in?
Water.
Hot water. He says they had no way of heating up water. Okay, and in addition, they didn't have time. The Sforno says they had a very short lunch break. They had to rush back to work. They didn't have time to sit there waiting for their bread to rise. So therefore, they had to eat matzah. Another answer I saw given, right, is that doesn't taste good. Okay, so as slaves, they weren't given food that tasted very good. Okay, so that's matzah as slave's food. Okay, and according to the second answer, we said that matzah symbolizes freedom. Okay, and that's the answer I think that we all really grow up with. We always know, like, the picture of the Jews leaving Israel with the matzah on their back, that they were rushing out. And that's really the answer that the Sefer HaChinuch, it gives us the Tamei HaMitzvot, all the reasoning behind the mitzvot, that's what he says it is. And Chazal say that because matzah is a symbol of freedom, we have to, almost the entire time we're sitting with Magid, the matzah has to be uncovered, because matzah is the vehicle through which we talk about the story of the freedom. Okay, so, again, so we have this kind of, like, two answers which are really diametrically opposed. We have, on the one hand, matzah is really the symbol of slavery, the same way it would fall into the category of, like, the salt water or the maror, haroset, right? But it's also the symbol of freedom, and it falls into the category of the fact that we lean or the fact that we pour wine for each other like free men. We have a nice table. We have the karpas, the new beginnings, right? So it really falls into both categories. And it's very strange, right? It's very strange. Why would we have this one food which really symbolizes two diametric opposites? This question is a question we can really have in general about the Seder. The entire Seder is really about opposites, right? We have many things that are really direct contradictions. So take the karpas, which symbolizes the spring, freedom, new beginnings, and you dip it into the salt water, which symbolizes slavery, right? We kind of pretend that we're like free men, we're leaning back, we're relaxing, people are, you know, serving wine to each other, and at the same time, we pretend that we're slaves, and we say, Avadim Hayinu, and people have a minhag to walk around, you know, with things on their backs, and, you know, pretend they're slaves. So, you know, what's going on here? What are we trying to feel? Are we trying to feel that we are slaves? Are we trying to feel that we are free? What is the Seder all about? Why do we have these direct opposites going on within the Seder? So I think there are two, there's probably a lot more, but there's two ideas I'm going to mention here about this question. So first of all, in order to really appreciate how great the fact is that we were redeemed, we have to understand what it means to be slaves. Right? In order to be able to thank Hashem for all the miracles that he performed for us, we have to really feel as if we were slaves. So we have this idea that we need to feel Avadim Hayinu B'Mitzrayim. We have to really act it out and feel really we were slaves. Why? Because we can't really get to the point where, you know, where it says Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mitzrayim. Each person is obligated to feel as if he left Mitzrayim, but you can't really feel that until you actually feel what it was like to be a slave. And we know this in our own personal lives. Like, you know, as long as everything's doing well, we don't really notice the fact that we can see, that we can hear, that we feel well. Right? As soon as something happens to us, God forbid, and we feel we're sick or something, whatever it is, it's after we recover and we're able to feel the pain that we can actually appreciate the fact that we are now feeling fine. Right? So the same way here, that we really need to have that matzah in the beginning, it really does symbolize slavery. And only when we are able to experience the matzah, as lechem oni, we're able to experience it as poor man's bread, can we really appreciate what it means to eat matzah as a man of freedom running out of leaving Mitzrayim. And the second answer is that the fact that the matzah or other aspects of this of the Seder can symbolize two different things within the very same object can really be applied to the entire concept of slavery, right? Because when we were redeemed from slavery, what happened to us? We didn't just go free and then do whatever we feel like. We became, we weren't Avadim, we're not Avadim Leparo, we became Avdei Hashem. Right, so Rav Soloveitchik says, he says, this shows and teaches us Hashem's complete control over world events. The very same matzah, which for generations was a negative symbol, the symbol of slavery, the symbol of oppression, suddenly becomes the symbol of geula overnight. And that is something only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself could bring about. And he does that in order to show us that it's not always about the very actions that we do, but the intentions we have when we're doing them. So we can do almost the exact same action with very different intentions. So we could be Egyptian slaves in Egypt and be cleaning the Egyptians' homes and palaces and scrubbing the floor, or we could be in our own homes cleaning for Pesach, but it's a totally different act. We can be building a pyramid in Egypt, or we could be building a sukkah because it's a mitzvah, right? We're able to do the same action, but it can mean some, you know, one is out of force and out of slavery, and one is out of choice and freedom, and out of the fact that we want to become Avdei Hashem. We're actively making a choice to be in this relationship and to be the Avadim of Hashem. And through that, Avodas Hashem, we become free. We know, Ein Ben Chorin Ela Misho Seifa Torah. Right? So what is someone who's truly free? Somebody who's involved in Torah and mitzvot and in developing the relationship with Hashem. And so as we chew over our matzah, we should chew over these ideas. Right? These two thoughts. Number one, the contrast between what it meant to be in slavery and what it means to be free and how we can appreciate the difference. And number two, the fact that we know are no longer Avadim Tepara. We're not his slaves, but we've actually actively chosen to be Avdei Hashem. And by the way, it's not only when we're eating that we can think about these thoughts, but when we're cooking. Okay, so we should have kavana as we're cooking the matzah balls, that these important messages of the matzah should really be embedded into the foods that we are cooking and impact on our family who will be eating them. Okay, and I think that this is true as well for all the Pesach foods that we cook, because I know that Bryony's not going to be giving any matzah recipes here. But whatever we're cooking, I think that we all have like nostalgic memories of the Pesach food that we grew up with it. You know, whether it was the potato starch brownies or the macaroons or whatever it is, even if it's not associated with matzah or anything specific to Pesach, but there are certain foods that you have in your mind that are uniquely Pesach foods, right? And those foods provide that unique atmosphere of Pesach. They set that stage for the Pesach meals, which create a space for the important telling over of the Pesach story and the passing down of the Pesach messages throughout the generations. So Pesach is not really just a mundane physical act that we do, but rather it's an opportunity to really transform physical into the spiritual, embedding the messages of Emunah, Mesiras Nefesh, and Avodas Hashem into our food and into our families. that. No, just your app now. I mean, I have.
You did,
I have in the past, yeah. Around different places, yeah.